This is ENT, the Ed News ticker for Friday, May 25th, and I'm Kirsten Winkler.
And I'm Christopher Dawson. Tech and startup news. The Vatican anoints Microsoft an education software deal. Vatican has struck a deal with Microsoft to give 43 million pupils at 200,000 Roman Catholic schools in more than 100 countries across access to a broad suite of the software company's products. The new social network for Catholic education will allow students to access a product called Office 365 for Education. Pupils will be able to use the company's widely used workplace software as well as teleconferencing and other tools. It's from the Globe and Mail, and I can't say it's actually that surprising they went down that road instead of the Google Apps road. Google just doesn't feel very Catholic to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Microsoft and the Catholic Church, but choosing Microsoft over Apple. Oh, also a nice closed system.
Absolutely. But and you know, Office 365 for Education, though, it is a really a robust product, and it certainly allows things to be locked down nicely if you choose to do so. So it seems like a reasonable choice, but quite a coup, actually, for Microsoft. 43 million.
Absolutely.
That's a lot
of money, and
yeah.
A lot of education.
Exactly. We hope so.
Okay, let's have a look in K-12 and higher ed. A story from Politico.com. Student loan bills stall in Senate. The Senate on Thursday voted twice to try to keep student loans interest rates low, but got nowhere. Senators rejected dueling Republican and Democratic plans to stop rates from doubling in July because of partisan fighting again over how the $6 billion bill would be paid for. Republicans want to divert money from a prevention fund created under the new health care law, while Democrats insist on eliminating a tax loophole for subchapter S corporations. Both plans were largely expected to fail to reach the 60-vote barrier to kill a filibuster, and on Thursday, neither side was budging.
Surprise.
It seems not a big surprise.
No, not shocked there at all. And off those student loan rates will go. So in more higher education news, the Canadian student protests erupt into a political crisis now with mass arrests. Protests that began in opposition to tuition fees in Canada have exploded into a political crisis with the mass arrest of hundreds of demonstrators amid a backlash against draconian emergency laws. More than 500 people were arrested in a demonstration in Montreal on Wednesday night as protesters defied a controversial new law, Bill 78, that places restrictions on the right to demonstrate. In Quebec City, police arrested 176 people under the provisions of the new law. Demonstrators have been gathering in Montreal for just over 100 days to oppose tuition increases by the Quebec provincial government, and on Tuesday about 100 people were arrested after organizers say 300,000 people took to the streets, and it comes to us from The Guardian. And we're even hearing about this here in the States, where we tend to not worry too much about other people.
I always thought that the Canadians as a nation were more sort of maybe a little laid back or relaxed or a little bit slow, but maybe these our anticipation is not so right, as they seem to be quite on fire. And well,
they really are.
Probably a good thing. So
this is unusual for them to be having such large demonstrations. That's certainly the stereotype, at least, that they're all friendly, it's all good. But again, we've talked about this before. When you've become accustomed to a certain way of doing business, then to have something really drastically different imposed upon you, I mean, it's a financial burden that we felt here for a very long time and are dealing with in that student loan bill. Welcome to the land of
but
student
for
loans.
Them, yeah, very new, and for them apparently something, as you said, radically different from before, so causes strong feelings.
Oh, yeah.
So a nation maybe more known for its temperament, Mexican students protest biased election coverage. So that comes from the LA Times. Thousands of university students poured into the streets of Mexico City on Wednesday for the second time in a week to protest the way the upcoming presidential election is being run and, more specifically, covered in the Mexican media. They are especially incensed that victory by Enrique Peña Nieto on July 1st is often portrayed as a fait accompli. About 15,000, by the city officials count at least, people gathered at the controversial Pillar of Light monument, seen by many here as a government boondoggle, and marched down the iconic Reformer Boulevard. The protesters came from a wide range of universities, public, private, leftist, writers, and even Catholic. And while many were decidedly anti-Peña Nieto, made clear in their banners and signs, the protest appears to go beyond pure partisan politics and represent a broader questioning of Mexico's status quo. And I mean, that's just south of your border.
It is, and you know, Mexico is a mess at this point in a lot of ways. And this is one of those things where, you know, when this happened, when there were uprisings in the United States in the 60s and 70s, it was the students mm-hmm. who drove it forward. And hopefully, the students can do the same in this case, and really reach for some real change. So good luck to them. Not going to be an easy task, but it's got to start somewhere. So, from our study and research desk, the more tech-savvy the principal, the more iPads in the classroom. Surprise. Project Tomorrow, an education research and advocacy group, released an extensive report on technology use in U.S. schools earlier this week. The report is based on the nonprofit's annual online survey, which was completed by more than 416,000 K-12 students, parents, teachers, librarians, and administrators over the course of last year. One of the most significant findings centers on how principals, superintendents, and other school and district administrators use technology in both their personal and professional lives. As a group, school administrators are significantly more plugged into mobile technology than the average American. 50% of school administrators own an iPad or other device, compared to 10% of the general population at the time of the survey. 70% of administrators own a smartphone, significantly more than the general population, which Project Tomorrow noted as being 46% at the time of the survey. Nearly a third, 30%, of administrators push for iPads, iPod touches, laptops, and other mobile devices in the classroom. Teachers that have taken an online class or used the internet for professional development, about half of all teachers in this survey, were 22% more likely to recommend online classes and similar resources for their students, which I think is actually particularly good news. Schools with tech-friendly administrators are 21% more likely to be exploring or implementing BYOD programs. So also from Cult of Mac, you know, with their sort of iPad bias in the
site.
Sure,
not looking into other tablets, but very focusing on iProducts, Apple products,
right.
Of course.
I think
still
reasonably good news
there's a point.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there is a point. And I mean, the iPad has become somewhat synonymous with tablets, for better or for worse. But the fact that these administrators are also looking at BYOD and mm-hmm. are open to that, and then will hopefully lead some change in that direction, making that, we hope, you know, affordable and reasonable for students, that's actually pretty good news. So good to hear that they're a connected group, and that maybe they'll help bring us up to the next level here.
Some surprisingly tech-savvy principles.
Yeah, not results I would have expected. So excellent.
Our next story is about bilingualism and how it may boost attention, working, and memory. Northwestern University trial provides new biological evidence that dual language speakers have enhanced auditory nervous systems. Bilingualism yields functional and structural changes in cortical regions of the brain dedicated to language processing and executive function. Dual language speakers are highly efficient in processing auditory information. Quote, bilinguals are natural jugglers, says co-author Viorica Marion in a statement. The bilingual juggles linguistic input and, it appears, automatically pays greater attention to relevant versus irrelevant sounds, comes from the Atlantic. That's good news for all bilinguals amongst us. And
yes. And for those of us who are not so bilingual, no wonder I can't multitask. I love that. That closes this episode of ENT. You'll find all the links to the articles we covered on EduQuest. Just go to eduquest.com/ENT17. Also, follow the EdNews ticker on Twitter at EdNewsTicker to stay updated during the week. You can help us with the show. Just go to our new subreddit at EdNewsTicker.reddit.com and submit your own articles or vote and comment on those you want us to discuss during the show. ENT will be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone.